And then this morning service, I'll be talking about the call of duty and how that reflects to the emergency services and how that reflects to us. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So if you want to start off with the reading this morning. I got a little stopwatch up here, so you know most of the people here know me. Know I love to talk. So the Wednesday night class, they like that because they say you can continue your lesson next Wednesday. Saves the next person from having to teach. So I got a stopwatch to kind of keep an eye on us. But the individual who was supposed to be here this morning was Scott Venop. Let me tell you a little bit about Scott Venop and his history. Scott Venop has over 31 years in the fire service. He was a vet of the Iraq War, the first one. He was a disabled vet. He was exposed to some chemicals and developed a brain tumor that from the Iraq War. But he continued on the fire service. He continued many years into the fire service. He just retired from the fire service about 2 years ago. He got a search dog right before 9/11 to be able to do search and rescue. When 9/11 occurred, he was one of the responders at the Pentagon on that first response. And then that evening, after he was at the Pentagon, he got a phone call because those search dogs, there's not very many of them out there in the United States, so they called him knowing he had one to please come up to Ground Zero because that's what they needed at Ground Zero. So he was at Ground Zero or in New York looking for victims for days afterwards. On it. So he told me he was affected by that event. And he was affected by that event in such a way that he's always knew there was a God. He'll tell you that. I've always known there was a God. But after 9/11, he knew there was something higher, something greater calling there was. So he developed this speech within the last few years, and he spoke all over the United States with it, Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, different places he's at, he's given this very speech. He's in the hospital right now as we speak. He has 9/11 syndrome. 9/11 syndrome is something that you get from being on Ground Zero, from all that different smoke, from the concrete, the metal burning, all that. It's very limited to those who responded to that. He had to have surgery on his lung, so he couldn't be here this morning. But why he couldn't be here was because of the 9/11 syndrome. We've lost over 50 firefighters since 9/11 to the 9/11 syndrome. So to me, it's an honor to be able to give you his speech. He's really come into knowing God within the last couple of years, and this congregation has prayed for him, for those who are remembering, that he'd become a Christian. And then he was directly affected by that. He was directly affected by 9/11 and by our prayers here, and that's a good thing. We're going to talk about God's incident command system. You know, incident command system is what the fire service and the police officers and the EMS personnel use to control an incident. And Scott thought about that. And the history of the incident command system, it was developed in the 1970s. The California brush fires is where it was created, because the brush fires, you know, California has huge brush fires. And they have all these people responding to it, and they weren't having a really good control of that incident. They had people doing their own things and stuff like that, so they developed this incident command system. And some of the problems they were having before the incident command system was a lack of authority. Who was the person in charge of the incident? The unclear chain of command. And it was also poor communication. They couldn't talk to crews that were way over here and stuff like that. Unspecific goals being achieved. Freelancing. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more, how it affected 9/11, how it actually saved lives on 9/11 to stop that lack of freelancing. Lack of information. Training was different between departments. Every department had different standards. And they didn't know what resources were available. But Scott thought about that as God Incident Command System. They call that ICS. We know Incident Command System and Emergency Service is ICS. ICS to Scott Vinnett was In Christ Salvation for the Incident Command System. Now, you know, we're all facing an incident. We're all facing those type of incidents today. We're in the biggest incident there is. It's not, I'm not talking about the hurricane. I'm not talking about the earthquake. I'm talking about the incident of life. Look at today. How much financial struggles that we face. How so many people are out of jobs and so many people are facing so many struggles. And Scott was thinking, how that's applied today, that we need to have somebody in charge of our incident of life. We need somebody to be in charge of us. And if those in the fire service, they're going to would really pull this in to the point where they'd really understand, because we do incident command on every incident. It could be a stub toe. It could be a multi-story fire. We're going to establish an incident command system. But God, Scott said we all face challenges. So what if God's your incident commander? And put God as your incident commander. And he said Jesus is your safety and operations. Now the operation person is a person who talks to the incident commander, who relays the stuff that we're doing as a firefighter up to the incident commander, and the incident commander will relay back through the operation what needs to be done to overcome this challenge or this incident. So the operation is the mediator in between the incident command and the firefighters. The safety officer makes sure that we're safe. That's his whole job in life, is to make sure that we're safe as a safety officer. And that's, if you think about what Jesus does for us, what a better person. And we'll go more into that. Now the Holy Ghost, and I didn't think about it to really put it into perspective, he put it as a logistics, providing the things that we need. The logistics in the fire service and in the emergency services is that person that gets you everything you need to handle that incident. And a good logistics officer takes care of the firefighters. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And he talked about Jesus operates within the parameter of the incident guideline. Now we as emergency services know what guidelines are, or protocols are. And for us, our guideline and protocol sits right here. And so all this is going to pull together before this is all over with. How God being our incident commander, Jesus being our operations and safety officer, and Holy Ghost being the logistics officer. Now, is God qualified to be our incident commander? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11 tells us this. Thine, O Lord, is the greatest greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom of the Lord, and thou art exalted ahead above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reign over all.
And in thine hand is the power and mighty. And in thine hand it is to make great, to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise the glory of thy name. You look at what you go through on a daily basis. You look at the incidents that occurred on 9/11. To have somebody who has that great power that's able to give us strength. A good incident commander is one who can take control of that scene, who can take control of that incident, who has that, where everybody looks to him and says, yeah, he's got command. He's the one that's going to have control of that day. You know, on 9/11, I got this video here that I watched to help guide me on some of the stuff that I watched. It was two brothers who were doing a documentary on firefighters in New York. They follow the rookies through rookie school, then they follow them to the station, and then we'll see do a documentary with the life of a firefighter. Well, they went through rookie school, and they followed these firefighters. They picked one firefighter out of the whole bunch to follow them to the fire station. Now, those who are in emergency services know we have two titles above us. We have a white cloud or a black cloud. White cloud means they don't run anything. Black cloud, they means they run everything. They run all the fires, they run all the bad calls. And from y'all's perspective, you probably want a white cloud. From our perspective, we want to be a black cloud. Because I'm telling you, a firefighter doesn't want to sit in the station. A firefighter wants to go out, a police officer wants to go out, a medic wants to go out and do their job. They want to help people. They don't want to sit there. Well, these people doing the documentary were follow this one firefighter. They said they might as well have done a documentary on firehouse cooking, because this firefighter didn't run anything. They said he was with them for 2 months, and then he had one in New York City. Now, and those who are in the fire service understand what I'm saying. In New York City, ran one car fire. How's that happen? But the night before 9/11, 9/10, they took this young rookie and put him up in the bucket truck of the ladder, raised the ladder above the fire station, and the captain had that talk. That captain, the firefighter, talked to him and told him, hey, we need to talk. You've been here for a while, but we really hadn't had a talk. And it was fitting, because what was in the background was the Twin Towers, all lit up at night. And they were documenting this, him having that firefighter talk. And that captain told that firefighter, you need to follow your leaders, because they got the experience. They know what, they've been there, they've done that. You need to be able to follow your leaders, your leaders and firefighters, your senior guys. And they're having that talk as they're doing that. And you have the towers in the background, that great talk between a captain and a firefighter. And of course, you know what that means. As Chris will tell you, and Jimmy will tell you back there, that means if he was working that night, he's off that morning. So he got off that morning, one of the brothers said, well, we ain't getting much footage, so I'm going to follow the next shift to get some good footage to add to our documentary. He got some good footage. He's the one that you see captures the first plane hit the tower. He was there when they set up the incident command system in the lobby of it. If they wouldn't have set up that incident command system and had all these controls that we were talking about and had a good leader and had somebody who command that incident, we lost 343 firefighters, 37 port authorities, 23 police officers, 8 EMS that day. But if we would, if you watch that video, if you can find it, if you watch that video, how he controlled that incident at the very beginning, you would have seen that we would have lost a whole lot more that day. There were 3,000 responders who responded initially to that call. 3,000. You know, we look at these guys and we say, man, what a great loss that day. And it was. But I haven't heard, and I had to do some research, I haven't heard yet anybody talk about how many souls they saved that day. And what I found in my research is both those towers hold 100,000, combined hold 100,000 people. Well, 50,000. But visitors is over 100, another 50,000. There was over 100,000 people in that building that day. Over 100,000. The PA system in the buildings when it occurred told everybody to stay in place because there was debris falling outside the building. They didn't want people to get hurt. Wait on the firefighters. The firefighters got there and realized how bad the situation was and said, no, you need to leave. They saved over 100,000 people that day. That's more than Petersburg, Colonial Heights, and Hopewell combined. Their heroic efforts that day saved that many, and it's because of a good incident commander. Now, we talk about what they, how they saved the lives, having a good incident commander, doing it right. Think about that in your life. Having somebody who has a, who knows how to control your life and knows what direction you need to go in, put that into your perspective today of having a good incident commander like God in your life. No matter what you face, you're going to be okay because he has the experience. Now, we have an old saying. Chris Pond, at the, when we start our shift, what do we say we want to do? Every one of them can tell you that. That's our whole goal of emergency services, is to be able to go home at the end of the day. Now, as police officers, firefighters, and medics, I'm telling you right now, we cannot guarantee that. We know that. We know that when we go to work, our goal is to go home at the end of the day. But we can't guarantee it. A police officer can't guarantee that there's not somebody around the corner just because he's a police officer that don't want to shoot him and end his life right then and there. He knows that. A firefighter knows he can't see that that floor is weak before he goes into that structure. He can try to prevent everything, but he can't prevent everything. So we lose firefighters. We lose police officers. Medics on a highway cannot say that if a car doesn't see that incident, that he's not going to crash into that incident, that medic loses his life. They can't guarantee that. But we know that. We take on that responsibility to be able to provide. That's the type of person we are, and we're going to talk about that calling later this morning. So we know that. But this system here, God's incident command system, can guarantee that we go home at the end of the day. What a thought that is. Be able to go home at the end of the day. And those thoughts of those firefighters, the going up and having that attitude, they went up that tower no matter what, knowing that that building probably coming down. They're going home at the end of the day. But we have the ability of that. Why is God our incident commander? Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord and all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. We belong to the Lord. What better incident commander is somebody who knows us and that we belong to? Genesis 1:1, we all know this one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What better incident commander that knows everything because he created everything? To have that incident commander in our life, especially with the way we're facing with the struggles of today. You look at the economy, you look how this world is going for us. You look at today. Look at today, 9/11. Look at Ground Zero today. What happened on Ground Zero were firefighters, police officers, and medics. And let me tell you, there was a chaplain in full turnout gear that day that responded. And they're not at Ground Zero at that ceremony this morning. They've taken all the ones who made that ceremony what it is and pulled them out of that ceremony. They're not there this morning. But we have that opportunity to be able to honor them and worship God the way it was done that day. Those firefighters and police officers who lost their lives can be honored here, and most of all, God can be honored here. And that tells you which way this world's going right now. That they're trying to pull God out of everything, even though God's in the middle of everything. So it's a great opportunity this morning. Now, Jesus being our safety officer and operations. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 tells us, Be thankful, but thank be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brother, beloved brother, be steadfast and unmovable. Let's stop there for a second. Be steadfast and unmovable. On 9/11, they were being steadfast and non-movable. Even though they knew those towers were coming down eventually, they didn't know when, but they didn't hesitate going up those stairs. They refused to stay down there and watch and say, hey, this is too bad. I know it's going to come down. They stood steadfast. The command center was in the lobby. They stood steadfast and unmovable. They were going to do their job. And that's what we got is Jesus Christ is our operation. You got Jesus Christ who's going to be there, who's going to steadfast be beside us no matter what. Refuse to leave us. He's unmovable. Nobody can take Jesus out of our life. We can. Nobody else can. What a concept. Always abounding in the works of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. What a concept. To know. It is now 9:59. The first tower just collapsed 10 years ago today. Now, they took the chaplain out of it, but he was there. And let me read you a little bit about the first chaplain. First chaplain, it was the fire department chaplain. It was at Ground Zero. He responded to all major incidents. He was the official first victim of 9/11. He was taking care of those firefighters on 9/11. He was there praying. In this video, you see him praying, but he was taking care of the firefighters. He was killed when debris from the South Tower collapsed at 9:59, which is what the time is just designated. At 9:59, he was the first victim when debris fell into the North Tower. And I found the prayer that he prayed that he went around, and this was the prayer that he was known for. And this is what it says. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way. That man was on Ground Zero taking care of firefighters as a chaplain. And his whole idea is, Lord, take me where you want me to be. The Lord brought him to that place that day. To be able to take care of those firefighters. And that's what we need to do in our lives, let the Lord lead us and then get out of His way. But that was that time I had it set for that purpose to go off at that time so we could remember when that first tower fell. And when that first tower fell is when the majority of those firefighters, police officers, and medics passed away that day. All right. Now in Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save us completely, those who come to God through him. What a thought. He is able to save us completely for those who come to God through him. Because he always lives to intercede for them. The best operation person there is someone who can intercede for us, an instant commander. Someone who can save us completely and make sure that we go home at the end of the day, having Jesus Christ as that mediator to that instant command. I mean, in the fire service, when I was a rookie as a firefighter, going up to the fire chief, I mean, I'm telling you, that was the most nerve-wracking event that I ever had when I got to go talk to the fire chief as a rookie firefighter. It's like, keep your head down, you don't want to look up, because the respect that goes with that position. Knowing he's the one that takes care of the department. He's the one that takes care of the incident. But to have somebody like Jesus that intercede for me and tell me what I'm trying to say to the Lord and letting what the Lord's trying to say and get it down to me, what a wonderful thought that is. Verse 6, such a high priest truly meets our needs. What a concept right there. A high priest truly meets our needs. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Now, our Jesus, He is one a great man. He is one great person that comes in our lives. So it could be intimidating even if I had to face Jesus, but that has Him as a mediator. Why is He a good mediator? John 1, verse 1. Let's read some of those verses and it'll explain that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now drop down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made its dwelling place among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Why is Jesus the perfect operation officer, the perfect safety officer for us? Why is He's the one that's the greatest mediator there ever was, the one that can control our life, and the one that can pass our message up to the instant commander of God, and the one that can relay God's message to us? He didn't stay in heaven. He came down to earth. He came down to earth. So He lived this life. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to have pain. We can relate to that because He came down here and did that for us. So we have a mediator that lived our life. We have a mediator that's God Himself. So we have the perfect mediator, the perfect operation person in our lives through Jesus Christ. What an instant commander to have that type of insight to send somebody down here and say, hey, you're going to have to be a part of and live them. We need that connection. For God to think about us so much that He would send His only begotten Son down here to die on the cross. What a thought that is for us. Now, let's talk about the Holy Ghost as the logistics officer. Those who are in the fire service, you know, for an incident to go well, there's three things you really got to have. A good incident commander, a good operations, and a really good logistics. Because if you've got a really good logistics, He's going to give you everything you need. And a really good logistics takes care of the firefighters. A good logistics officer is the one that knows that a firefighter gets tired, a firefighter gets hungry, a firefighter needs rest. So he makes sure that that firefighter has everything he needs. He makes sure he has all the resources he needs. Now, California, back in 1970, you might have thought they developed the instant command system. But let me tell you, the instant command system has been developed since the beginning of time, and it ain't been done better since. Because no matter how hard we try, every incident doesn't have a good ending. But this incident of life can have for you, can have success because of the system. It means we can go, like we said, go home at the end of the day. Because we're just here temporarily. We're not here permanently. We're facing an incident of life. Now, the logistics officer and the Holy Ghost, John 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. Let me give you a little bit of background on this. John 14, verse 16 is Jesus talking to the disciples, getting ready to leave, and he's leaving him, but he's going to tell them he's going to send somebody back to be there for them, to comfort them, and to be there, provide everything they need. They're getting ready to write this, the New Testament. And can you imagine as the disciples having that, they've just seen Christ's life and they're trying to remember, how am I going to remember all that? How am I going to do that? How am I going to put in the words what God wants? So they were getting ready to take a huge task in their life that still holds up today. A huge task. But God wasn't going to leave them hanging. He was going to send them a good logistics officer to send them back to recall their memories. Which, first of all, let's read verse 16. And I will pray the Father that He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. I'm going to send back another comforter. I can tell you, as emergency service personnel, that having that extra logistics and knowing that we're going to have what we need and stuff like that is just a comfort, especially on large incidents. You know, if you're looking back in the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot going on. Taking that old phrase, if you don't like Virginia weather, just hang around a minute, it'll change. The last 2 weeks has really lived up to that, has it? Because we've gone through earthquakes, we've gone through hurricanes, and we've faced tornadoes. And those firefighters who've been out there on long operations, when that hurricane came through there, that was a pretty much a 24-hour operation for the emergency services guy. Most of those guys were up for 24 hours taking care of it. Where a lot of us were in the house or in our homes saying, oh, there goes the power. But the emergency service person out there, a lot of them were out there for 24 hours straight responding to stuff. I know on Fort Lee, it started at 1 o'clock that afternoon, the bulk of the call, and didn't end until the next day. If I could figure out how to cut that off, I would. To the next day, it was nonstop. We cut a person out of a car who was trying to deliver pizza on Fort Lee at the height of the storm when a tree landed on top of the car. We responded to houses that trees that landed on houses. It was nonstop. But these guys love it. They'll go for 24 hours if you keep them busy. But as a firefighter and as now a officer, my whole responsibility is to make sure they eat, make sure they have plenty of fluids, make sure they get some type of rest in between calls. A good logistics officer does that. Now, for God to send a comfort to us, especially when you're facing that bill, you're wondering how you're going to pay. Or facing that not having power for the eighth day in a row and not having a clean shower. How are we going to get through this? Or facing the loss of a loved one. How are you going to get through that? You get through that through the Holy Ghost, who's there to comfort you. And the only way that he doesn't comfort you is if you don't allow him to. You have that ability and the resources to have that. Now, John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither know him not, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be with you. Having that comfort of somebody with us all the time, meeting our every need. What? Think about God's concept on this whole thing, providing Jesus Christ, providing the Holy Ghost for us. He knows what we need. And to have that in our lives, it's an awesome thought if we would just take advantage of it. Now, John 14, 26 tells us, tells who the Comforter is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost from the Father, will send... Let me read it one more time. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all the things and bring you all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He told them, don't worry about this. I got you covered. I'm going to give you everything you need to put this word together. This word together. I'm going to bring you everything you possibly need to get through this. So the logistics is the... our logistics is the Holy Ghost. And what to realize in the life and then when we face struggles, to be able to have that. Have something like that. Now the final part I want to talk to you about this morning, as the time getting ready to run out, is I want to talk to you, fire service, EMS, police, every incident has a cost. First does it not? And that's one of the biggest things we worry about on an incident is how are we going to pay for this incident? Every incident command system has a finance officer. But let me tell you about this finance officer. To be able to go to an incident and realize that I ain't got to pay for anything, everything's paid for it to be paid in full, this life is paid in full if you choose that route. Christ has paid for your life in full. You ain't got to worry about anything. You're promised at the end of the day that you're going home with all the glory, with all the praise, with all the comfort. Think about what you're going to get in heaven. And think of how you're going to pay for it. If I go home to my father and have that mansion, how am I going to pay for it? This instant of life is paid in full. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister, not to be ministered unto. Stop there for a second. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. The Son of Man came down on this earth not to be ministered unto. Now, if I was the Son of Man, I think I'd have the thought, hey, I'm the Son of Man. What are y'all going to do for me? His whole thought on this earth when he was here was to minister. That's what they did. That's the attitude they had, the police officers had. They had the attitude to minister unto. But Christ, who he was, had the right to come down here and be ministered unto, but he didn't. He ministered to people. He healed the sick. Does that sound like a medic? He healed the sick. He feeded the hungry. I think he's probably the first emergency responder there was on this earth, was Jesus. You look at his life and what he did for people every day, you realize that he was probably one of the first responders there was, because his whole attitude and concept was to take care of people to the day he died. To the day he died, because of it. It says, to give his life is a ransom for many. Just like emergency services, at times, some of our fellow emergency responders give their life to the day they die. But Christ gave our life to save our life eternally. He gave us the ability to save our life forever. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wager of sin is death, but the gift of life is eternal. The life that Christ, by dying on that cross, gives us eternal life. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all for us. We ain't got to worry about nothing. We just got to follow that system. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, for the emergency services people, we kind of really pull this stuff together because we do this on a daily basis. But let me tell you what we're getting ready to talk about in Sunday service. We're going to talk about the call of duty. There ain't nobody does it better than the emergency services on that great call of duty. My lesson this evening is going to talk about that calling, that greater calling that we have when it comes to God. So we got one more reading that Chris Pond is going to read for us that we're going to close at the end of class. Between class, we're going to show you a video of all the fallen firefighters so you can watch in between while we wait for Sunday services, and then we'll start Sunday services. We've got some awesome songs picked out. We've got some, hopefully, a good lesson picked out for y'all this morning. We've got good food, but we've got a great opportunity not only to honor our fallen responders, but to honor God in times like this. And we'll do some more talking. So, Chris, if you'll come on up.
This is a police officer's prayer. Lord, I ask for courage. Courage to face and conquer my own fears. Courage to take me where others will not go. I ask strength of body to protect others, and strength of spirit to lead others. I ask for dedication to my job, to do it well. Dedication to my community, to keep it safe. Give me, Lord, concern for those who trust me, and compassion for those who need me. And please, Lord, through it all, be at my side. By unknown author.
Like I said, we're going to have some good stuff for you later this morning for the service. But we're going to play that video so y'all can watch in between service of all the fallen firefighters on there.